Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
Triumphing over troubles with Christ. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, that is, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. The indwelling Spirit imparts life to us and assures us of the realization of their hope of eagerly awaiting glory, helps them in their infirmities, and intercedes for them so that everything turns out for their welfare. It produces the fruit of super invincibility, in other words, of being more than conquerors. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So, the indwelling Spirit imparts life to us, assures us of the realization of our hope, of eagerly awaited glory, helps us in our infirmities, and intercedes for us, so that everything turns out for our welfare. So we triumph in Christ. As 2 Corinthians 2:13 through 15, "I had no peace in my spirit because I did not find my brother Titus there, so I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God who always leads us triumphantly as captives in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the sweet aroma of Christ, among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Romans 8:2 through 30. "For through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, because it was weak due to the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, and in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is hostility to God, for it does not submit to the law of God, nor can it do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, seeing that God's Spirit dwells in you. Anyone who does not possess Christ's Spirit does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is life because of your justification in Christ. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also impart life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to its standard. For if you live according to its standard, you are doomed to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the disgraceful deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery to fill you once more with dread, but you have received the Spirit of adoption who moves us to cry, 'Abba,' that is, Father. This Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since the fact that we are now sharing in His suffering means that hereafter we shall share in His glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation with outstretched head is eagerly looking forward to the revelation of the sons of God. For it is not by its own choice that the creation was subjected to futility, but it was because of him who subjected it in hope, because of the creation itself too, will be set free from its bondage to decay, so as to share the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation with one accord has been and still is groaning, as in the pain of childbirth. Not only this, but also we ourselves, who possess the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, as we eagerly await our adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. For it was in hope that we were saved. But when once something hoped for is seen, it is no longer an object of hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But since we hope for that which we do not see, we wait for it with patient endurance. And in the same way, the Spirit too is helping us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the Spirit's intention, that is, he is interceding for the saints in harmony with God's will. He works in us as well by the hidden spiritual influences to get us in agreement with God's will. And we know that to those who love God, all things work together for good, that is, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, Christ Jesus, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And whom he foreordained, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. As was true with respect to chapters 5, 6, and 7, so also chapter 8 points to a result of the believer's justification by faith. The fact that justification is needed at the center of Paul's thinking is clear from the opening words. There is now no condemnation, for condemnation is the opposite of justification. The question as to the theme of this chapter is easily answered. It is not expressed immediately, though everything in verses 1 through 30 and again in verses is the phrase Christ Jesus at the center of everything, which leads up to it. As for example, verse 28 printed above the present section indicates the central thought, which is also the main fruit of justification by faith, is found in the words, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Romans 8:37. Not merely conquerors, but more than conquerors. Not merely invincible, but super invincible. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The statement, "there is therefore now no condemnation," is closely connected with the main thrust of Paul's previous reasoning, taken as a unit. The Apostle Paul has been setting forth the fact that through Christ's debt-removing and sanctifying self-sacrifice, believers have been released from the curse of the law. Because of the entrance of sin, the law cannot now be regarded as a means of obtaining salvation. The sinful nature cannot sustain it. There must be the Holy Spirit in union with the spirit of an individual for them to transcend the vital forces that pull against and are at enmity with Christ, with God, because it does not have the power to condemn sin, to condemn believers. The law does not have the power to condemn believers, so the law cannot now be regarded as a means of obtaining salvation, nor does it have the power to condemn believers. Rather, the law is the means for the expression of their gratitude. As such, it is the object of their delight, even though, as 7:14 says, has shown in the present life, complete obedience is impossible. As he has been indicated, there is a close connection between thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord, and there is therefore now no condemnation, etc. But even what Paul says in 7:25 and more generally in 6:1 through 7:25 about the enslaving power of sin is not absent from his mind in 8:1 is a sequel. It indicates for Paul that no condemnation means freedom not only from sin's guilt, but also from its enslaving power. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. He breaks the power of satanic rule and the influences of the Holy Spirit with us, where we can, by free will, walk with him in everything we do. Keeps us from being enslaved by the power of sin that previously dominated mankind until the new birth. To be sure, a distinction must be drawn between justification and sanctification, but this distinction must never become a separation, as Christ divided cannot be, as Christ cannot be divided, so also these two blessings which we receive together in him are also inseparable. In line with this threshold, this twofold reference of the words no condemnation is the phrase in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying is that for those who not only forensically or legally are in Christ Jesus, the guilt of their sins having been removed by his death, but also spiritually, the sanctifying influences of his Spirit dominating their lives, there is now, consequently, no condemnation. For them there is justification and therefore salvation full and free. Justification and sanctification always go together. The fact that the expression no condemnation implies both pardon and purification is also clear from verse. For through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free, Romans 8:2, from the law of sin and death. Paul speaks about the law of the Spirit of life. That the Holy Spirit is life is very essential, and also imparts life, both physical and spiritual, is clear from ever so many passages in Scripture. The basis for this doctrine is probably found in Genesis 1:1 and Psalm 51:11 and 104:30. It's drawn by the Holy Spirit throughout Scriptures. For closer references, there's John 6:63, 2 Corinthians and Galatians, and of course Romans 8:11. The law of the Spirit of life is the forceful and effective operation of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of God's children. It is the very opposite of the law of sin and death, for which we see on 7:23 and 25. Just as the law of sin produces death, so the law or ruling factor of the Spirit of life brings about life, Romans 6:23. It does this through Christ Jesus, that is, on the basis of the merits of his atonement and by means of the vitalizing power of union with him. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request, or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado, 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.